we present the 10th and final episode of Pay Any Price by Ted Albury, which he's adapted from his novel of the same name. With Barry Foster as Jimmy Boyd, Robert Beatty as Otto Schultz, and Michael J. Shannon as Tony Simmons. Pay Any Price.
Ely speaking. Put me through to the Deputy Undersecretary. Well, find him. Give him my compliments. Tell him it's a matter I discussed with him, coming to a head. I'm in Northumberland. I need to see him. No, it's too urgent. Somewhere halfway. Let's make it Birmingham at the airport. Yes, the RAF will fly me down. Okay.
Have you discussed this with anyone else yet?
No, sir. Obviously Carter knows part of the story, but he hasn't kept me informed. He won't know the latest development.
You never know, Ken, you never know. I've not heard anything, but I don't fraternize with Nick Carter unless I have to. For his sake as well as mine. What the eye don't see, the heart don't grieve about, eh?
I think the issues are clear, sir, even if the decision is less so.
Do you now? Tell me the issues.
Well, we either cooperate with Langley or we don't. We send their two men back discreetly and gift-wrapped and leave Langley to decide their fate. Or we raise absolute hell at all levels. Their embassy here, ours in Washington. CIA liaison, even the White House direct. Eventually, we agree to return them, but only in exchange for something good we really want.
And which do you favour?
The discreet return.
Why that?
Well, the sooner we wash our hands of all of it, the better. We don't need to make a song and dance about it. It's not an occasion for pointing fingers. They don't like this kind of operation any more than we do. Mind you, I'm surprised that Carter has gone to these lengths. It's not our kind of game.
He gets his blackmail material on the CIA and instinctively wonders how much it's worth. Never enters his mind that maybe you could get more out of it by doing nothing. What about your chap Boyd? He's another complication.
I think, in fact, it's our only problem, or my only problem.
Do you think you can talk Boyd out of his indignation?
Not sure that I can. I think in some queer way he's identifying this girl with his wife. They're much of an age, both very pretty. He sees it as happening to her.
Sounds a good solid citizen.
The only solid citizens we can afford in SIS are those we stick behind desks, shuffling papers and scribbling notes with their monograph on medieval guilds in East Anglia. Field officers should be committed.
Now, steady on. I can remember you said we shouldn't be taking on chaps who were eager to do the job. We should be looking for the reluctant virgins who had doubts. Your own words, Ken. You quoted Philby as the example of the committed man. You said to me a number of times that you valued your music because it kept you at arm's length from being the dedicated SIS man always wearing blinkers. Yes?
I'm afraid so. That's why I was so hot under the collar about Boyd. He reflects my own views too closely for comfort. I've been in the racket enough years to make me tend towards the long view.
Would you like me to put someone else onto dealing with Boyd?
What made you suggest that, sir?
Because the obvious solution is one you won't like. Oh, I'll have to miss out on the coffee. I've got a meeting before lunch. Keep me in touch.
Mr. Carter, Sir Roger.
Ah, sit down, Carter. I got your message, and I've just come back from speaking to Healy. How long will it take to move, huh?
Well, I'll need a Home Office transfer authorization and some pressure on the two doctors. And I'll need to make arrangements for her at another hospital. And that'll take some time. Medical people can't start being told what to do by their inferiors.
See Penny about the transfer authorization, and you should have it back from the Home Secretary's office within the hour. Hire an ambulance and take her to one of the safe houses. The one at Petersfield is available. Get facilities to provide one of our own nurses. Don't stand any nonsense from the two doctors and make them sign the Official Secret Act form. Point your finger at Section 2.
Yes, sir.
No, don't go. Sit down. I gave you the benefit of the doubt when I agreed to let you go ahead with these two Americans. You'll recall, I hope, that I pointed out to you that the prize wasn't enough for the risk. You remember?
Yes, sir.
Was I right?
Yes, sir. But we've had practical experience of a new weapon, a new method.
Rubbish. The two Americans may have, but you haven't. You couldn't repeat it without them. You've no more learnt how to do it. And going to the theatre teaches you how to be an actor.
I'm sorry, sir.
We've got a complication now.
What's that, sir?
Healy's chap Boyd broke into the house and took off with Simmons. Boyd wants to expose the whole thing. The naughty CIA and their collaborators in SIS. Abuse of the minds of innocent victims. He could make Watergate look like the Vicar's Tea Party.
What's Healy going to do?
Well, that's what worries me. Maybe he'll make the right decision in the end, but I doubt it. And if he's backed into a corner, Boyd's only got to get to a telephone and call a newspaper and the BBC, and the balloon goes up. You'd better provide some insurance, Carter, or we'll all be writing our memoirs in the Tower.
Do we know where Boyd has taken Simmons, sir?
No. You better get your people up there doing their bloodhound act. You get my meaning, I hope.
Yes, sir. I'll deal with it.
Baden Old Manor Hotel.
Mr. Healy, please.
Just a moment, please.
Healy?
What did London say?
You better come and see me.
Is that really necessary?
Yes, of course.
I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Come in. Ah, James. Come in and sit down. Have some of this toast done in.
What's going on, Healy? What's the word from Mount Olympus?
Oh, the DUS has asked me to pass on his congratulations for the good work you've done. He feels that you've placed us in an extremely strong position vis-a-vis Langley. For once, we've got all the aces, and he's very grateful.
What does all that add up to on the ground?
He wants us to get the two Americans back as quietly as possible. And then we'll decide what we want from Langley.
And Walker and the girl?
Walker? Who's Walker?
The ex-soldier who has the nightmares.
Oh, yes, of course. The name escaped me for a moment. Well, every effort will be made to help him sort himself out. Every effort.
And they'll release the girl?
If it's medically feasible, James. Our mental health has to be the first consideration, but everything will be done.
Did you go along with this?
Of course. I had no choice. It's a direct order.
Not for me, it isn't.
James. They want to please you. There's talk of an MBE, even an OBE, for your good work. Don't make it more difficult for us than it already is. Be reasonable.
If my idea of reasonable isn't the same as yours, what then?
That's a hypothetical question, James. Help me. You won't regret it.
That's the word you shouldn't have used, Healy. Regret. That's been on my mind for days. One thing I know is that if these bastards get away with what they've done and it's me who's let them off the hook, I'll regret it for the rest of my life.
Oh, for God's sake, Jimmy, you've done far worse than this many times.
For sure I have, but not to innocent people. The ones I killed were in the business. They knew the risks the same as I did. It was them or me, and it could have been me. But not Walker and this girl. They were just bystanders. These bastards just decided they could be useful and took them. They don't even know what's been done to them. They didn't volunteer. There were no risks for those bastards. If it worked, great. If it didn't, too bad. Well, that isn't what the SIS is all about. It isn't what this country's about, nor the United States. And it isn't what I'm all about, either. You have to draw the line somewhere, Healy. I wanted to hear what you'd have to say. I hoped you might have found some scruples while you were down in London.
Your scruples are at other people's expense, Boyd.
How do you make that out?
If it was just that you wanted to draw the line for yourself, you could take some leave and be out of it. Or you could resign.
You really don't understand, do you?
Yeah?
Is that you, Healy?
Who's that?
Carter.
Where are you?
In a dump called Sea Houses.
What the hell are you doing up here?
Playing sheepdog, pal. What's the position with your friend?
Why are you up here?
Sir Roger's orders, didn't he tell you?
No.
Well, what's the situation?
He won't cooperate.
So what's he going to do?
God knows.
Okay. Now listen. You stay right where you are. I'm taking over as of now. We found out where he's holed up. But don't interfere. I'll come back to you when we've dealt with it.
What are you going to do?
What do you think, sweetheart?
I'd half expected it, but not quite so soon. Small van parked at the side of the road, far enough away from the cottage to look as though it was on some other business, but near enough to walk there hidden by the tall trees. Anyway. Let's see what we've got. Have a look inside. Yeah, too tidy, too clean. No job tickets or service manual. Probably hired. Let's have a look in the back. Nothing. No toolkit, not even a spare. More likely a quick second-hand bargain. Well, sun's almost down. Whoever it is will be expecting me to be coming back from the other direction, from the main road. So, what now? Well, let's immobilize this thing first. Now the other one. Should fix them. Now, there's only one way to go. Across the field, into the copse, and then edge along to the orchard. See his face, but I can see the shine on his rifle. He should have blacked it over. I guess he's not alone. There'll be another one round the back, so what now? I should have checked if the van engine was still warm. Well, there's no lights on in the cottage. They probably hadn't had time to go in. I'll take the one at the back first. He won't be expecting me. He's just a backup. These bloody trees. There he is. Bastard. In the shadow by the back door. Looking the wrong way. If I crawl round in a half circle, I'm covered by the trees. He won't be expecting...
Katie.
Was it him, Grabowski?
It sure was. Not so bright as he thought he was.
Is he dead?
You betcha. Get your guys to put him in the car. I'm going into the cottage. Is that you, Simmons? Oh, my God. Let's get that out of your mouth. Huh? There. How you feeling?
Terrible. I think he's broken my nose. Why did it take so long?
It's only been a few days.
Can you get a key for these handcuffs? They've got into my wrists.
You have to get a key from the local police.
Where's Boyd?
He's dead.
For God's sake, what happened?
He was shot.
Who shot him? You?
Forget it. I gotta talk seriously to you, Tony.
What about?
Remember when we were talking way back just before Dallas? You said that if anything happened to you, the bomb would go off?
Yes. I remember it very well.
And you said if you died from natural causes, the same had happened, remember?
Yes.
Well, that's always worried me, see. That's what I want to talk about.
Well, how am I talking, Ziggy?
Oh, I don't need to talk much. I just want to know what you've done. Well, I assume you've done some sort of disclosure of the MK Ultra experiments, and you've stashed them away someplace, huh?
That's more or less right, Ziggy. But I'm not saying any more, old friend. Those things are my insurance policies.
Oh, I'm aware of that. But nevertheless, I want to know where they are.
Oh, no way, Ziggy. You know better than that.
Okay. Now we better get down to the essentials. Now, I've known you for a long time, Simmons. You're a clever guy. You've done a good job, so I don't want you to come to no harm. You've been drawing an active service special allotment for years now, the same extras that top field agents draw, but you're not a field agent, and you'd never have survived as a field agent. Well, they're maybe not so bright in some ways as you are, but they got several things that you ain't got and won't ever have. Like guts, for instance. Now, when I start putting you through the ringer, you're gonna scream like a stuck pig. Now, I don't much like the sound of men screaming, so I thought we might find a way to avoid it.
You mean you're gonna turn the heat on me? I don't believe it.
Start believing it right now, little boy. I'll put you through the mincer without a second thought. I might even enjoy it. You know, you've been a cocky bastard when you had the chance.
You wouldn't. You couldn't. Not after all I've done. I'm on your team.
You see this gun? I'll give you 10 seconds to start talking, Simmons, and after that, I'll finish off what Boyd started on your face.
So what do you want to know?
Where's your stuff? The cozy little time bomb that reveals all?
Can we do a deal, Ziggy? We could share it. When you need some insurance, just as much...
Where's the stuff, Simmons? Or do you want some more?
Is that the house? The beach house? On Kodachrome slides? In a pack? 71 slides?
Where is it? The pack?
It's with all the other packs of slides. It's marked on a label. Research 1.
And what releases it to the waiting world?
A letter. My lawyer. He's got a set too. Unopened. Sealed with super glue.
Who's your lawyer?
Miles Roper. Roper and Callahan. Boston. At Harvard together.
No other copies?
No, I swear it. Please, Ziggy. I'm hemorrhaging. Give me some help.
CIA Langley, can I help you?
I want to speak to Mr. Schultz, please. And I'm calling long distance from London.
Can you give me the initial, please? We have several Schultzes listed.
Otto Schultz.
One moment.
Schultz here.
Otto?
Yeah? Who's that?
It's Katie, Otto. Katie Boyd.
Oh, hi, honey. Good to hear from you.
Otto, Jimmy's dead.
What?
His funeral's on Thursday. I thought you should know.
God's sake, what happened?
I was told he had a heart attack. That's what it said on the death certificate.
Yeah. Look, honey, I'll catch the next plane over. You still at the same place?
Yes.
I'll call you as soon as I'm in town.
Thanks, Otto.
He was a special guy, that Jimmy of yours. I'm very sorry. I'm very, very sorry.
Do come, Otto.
I will. If there are things to do, leave them for me.
I will, thank you.
Okay.
See you.
Yeah, take care.
So, I came over for Jimmy Boyd's funeral. There had been no inquest, the usual cover-up. Died of cardiac arrest, complete with doctor's certificate. Katie asked me to stand with her and her mother during the interment. When it was all over, I walked down the churchyard path with them.
Kate, we ought to ask a few of them back.
No, Mother. I'm not inviting anybody back. I don't even know most of these people.
I think you should. It's a gesture.
Mother, it's a lot of... God, I don't even know the right word. Jimmy would have known what I mean. All this hypocrisy about what handles to have on the coffin, choosing hymns, choir or no choir.
It's a matter of respect for him, lovey.
Oh, rubbish, Mother.
Here's Sir Roger, what's his name, the deputy secretary, coming. You know Healy, who's with him, I expect.
A truly fitting service, if I might say so, Mrs. Boyd. Now, perhaps a word of down-to-earth practicality might help. I put a very strong case to the minister, and I was grateful that he agreed that a full pension would be paid, full salary and index-linked, of course, the whole of your lifetime. Oh, and of course, the fund will look after all today's expenses. Mrs. Mallison, this dear girl has been so brave. It hasn't gone unnoticed.
Thank you.
Ah, and now we must leave her in your safe hands.
Goodbye.
Come on, Kate.
Oh, thank God that's over.
Yes.
Do you think she rumbled anything?
No, I'm sure she didn't.
Very attractive. Soon find someone. Amazing how our chaps always get the pretty girls. Except you and me, of course. What are you doing tonight?
I've got a ticket for the festival hall.
Who is it?
Itzhak Perlman.
Oh, I've heard the name. Is he any good?
He's fantastic.
Really? Yeah, I must remember that. One should keep up with these things.
George Walker still sees Dr. Ansell from time to time, just for a checkup. Once or twice a year, he has one of his nightmares. They leave him screaming and sweating, but he's almost got used to them and takes them in his stride. He works as a computer programmer for a national insurance company that forgot to ask him to fill in an application form. He is not married and still lives with his parents. He has no friends, and he devotes all his spare time to a model railway layout that he's built up in a small shed in the garden. Debbie Shaw is in an asylum for the incurably insane. She wears a threadbare, toweling bathrobe several sizes too big for her because it was once Steve Randall's. She doesn't remember him, and she has no visitors. She gives very little trouble to the staff, sitting most days in the same wicker chair. She knits a scarf that the nurses have to unravel from time to time when its length exceeds 12 feet. Sometimes she sings quietly to herself as she knits, and one of the young doctors once said amiably that she ought to be a singer. About once a year, she is a problem, a passive problem, refusing to eat or drink, sitting silently in her own small cubicle, not knitting, and refusing to talk. It never lasts more than a week, and force-feeding every other day keeps her alive. She's still pretty, apart from her pale face and the purple shadows under her eyes. Male patients proposition her from time to time, but she just smiles. Steve Randall gave up his act and lives now in one room in Pimlico. He's been arrested several times on drunkenness and vagrancy charges. He goes to see Dr. Zhivago whenever it's on and sheds tears when it comes to the bit where the man and the woman sit on the bench under the trees and the leaves blow along the street, you know. He goes, but not often, to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And despite being an obvious backslider, he's well-liked by everyone in the group. He survives on Social Security payments and small handouts from a showbiz charity.
every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Jack Kennedy had said we would pay any price. I wonder if he would have said it if he had known what part of the price would be.
In the 10th and final episode of Pay Any Price by Ted Albury, you heard Barry Foster as Jimmy Boyd, Robert Beatty as Otto Schultz, and Michael J. Shannon as Tony Simmons. Mr. Healy was played by Leslie Heritage, Sir Roger by Richard Herndl, Nick Carter by James Carey, Ziggy Grabowski by Carey Francis, Katie by Carol Boyd, Katie's mother by Teresa Collard, and the receptionist and CIA operator by Pauline Siddle. The serial was directed by Christopher Venning.